Hey, this is Sanchez Taylor for WrestleTalk.com, and I'm here with former TNA World Heavyweight Champion, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis. How are you doing?
I'm good, Sanchez. Thanks for having me.
Cool. So, yeah, even just then, like, you've done a lot in your career that is, like, really inspiring. But first off, I want to know, has there been a moment or, well, was there a moment or match in particular that inspired you, that made you think, yes, I want to become a wrestler?
Actually, I was just talking about this on an interview I did with the Orlando Sentinel. I think for me, Backlash 2000, which I watched on Channel 4, that was the match for me where it occurred to me by the time I got to the main event, and, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm wide awake. And I think that's the time when it occurred to me, like, I don't just like this on a fan level. Like, there's part of me that really wants to do this. Like, it speaks to me in a different way, and I want to try to emulate what these guys represent. You know, it was a perfect example of everything I love about the business in one segment, in one match.
Yeah, that's the Stone Cold one, isn't it? Where he returns.
It was Rock and Triple H, you know, for the title, and then Austin returns, and it was the, you know, the McMahons are with Hunter, and, you know, Rock's the ultimate sort of franchise player at that time, and the place was rocking, and, you know, just all the pieces just went together so well, and everybody was, you could just feel that everybody in that moment, in that match, was like at the absolute peak of their powers. You know, they were firing on all cylinders.
Okay, yeah, so. Yeah, like, when you were coming up through, like, you were doing a bit of your full-time wrestling before then, you obviously got into Gladiators, which took you on to TNA. But, like, throughout your career, was there a particular aim to, like, reach WWE or anything like that? Or were you always more concerned with, like, the wrestling scope outside of, like, WWE?
When I first came up, like most people, you know, my sights were set on WWE, you know, just things took me a different direction, and so I tried not to put too much stock in just making it to WWE, you know, because there's elements to that are out of your control, but it was certainly a goal, and, you know, remains one, I guess. But it was more about wanting to be just a well known, you know, player in the industry. Like Scott Hall, you know, he summed it up great once in a conversation we had, where he said, "I just wanted to be a big time pro wrestler," you know, and I always sort of, that resonated with me, because I was like, yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Okay, yeah, like, so obviously you are stateside now, but you're originally a British boy, you grew up on this side, and so with, like, the British division now, there's quite a few wrestlers who are from the UK who are, like, all around the world. Like, how do you think the British scene has changed since you were, like, a star over here?
I think the main thing, and I have to qualify this by saying, you know, I'm not necessarily the best person to ask, because I haven't been around, you know, for a decade, but I think what I always take pride in is that our generation, like myself, you know, even the guys who sort of came a little bit before me, like Drew and Sheamus and Stu and you know, those guys, but I think what we did, and you know, my generation of guys, like myself, Marty Scurll, Will Ospreay, you know, Shah, and I'm you know, missing tons of names, but I think we changed the perception of British wrestling, in the sense that I remember the sort of prevailing mentality being that, well, you won't go to America. There's only space for one British guy at a time. It's like a token. You know, you have a token British guy, and they've got Regal, so that's it. And it was, and I, you know, and I never believed that. And I, you know, and I think we're lucky that so many other guys from my generation didn't believe that either, and didn't put that limiting belief on themselves of like, well, this is it. You just have to work the circuit here and be happy with it. I was always like, no, I want to take this as far as I can take it, and there's no reason why I can't do it compared to anyone else, American or otherwise.
Yes, you're making your return to the UK like later on this year for One Pro Wrestling. It's the British Invasion with Doug Williams, and you've recently been working with him like since like last year. You've gotten to work more with him again. How's it been like working with someone who's like inspired you, was in your formative wrestling years, to then now reunite both on top, per se?
it's a lot of fun. It's very satisfying. It's really easy. It's a night off working with Doug. He has been a tremendous help to me in my career, and he has, you know, he helped bring me up to par. On a professional level, it's always a joy to get to work with him. And on a personal level, it's very satisfying to be able to return the favor, to be able to use my influence to with the NWA to say, hey, Doug Williams is available, let's take advantage of it. And they listened, and they now he and Harry Smith have been tearing it up as a tag team. And, I think that we're going to continue to see Doug making his presence known.
Yeah. And then, so obviously you had your two title reigns with the world's heavyweight title. And then leading into this weekend at Always Ready, you were originally set to face Matt Cardona, but then obviously he unfortunately picked up his bicep injury, tore his bicep, and he's now said that he needs surgery for that. Like, when did you find out about that and that the match was in jeopardy?
I found out he got hurt pretty much the same time as everyone else, shortly after it happened. These things happen, it's the wrestling business. I've torn my bicep before. I tore it in 2015 in Mexico. So I understand that it can happen at the blink of an eye. So, I did what I always do, which was just sort of make it known to the office that, like, hey, whatever you need me for, I'm here. And, they can rely on me to make it work and to deliver, whatever we need to deliver on the night.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he was saying that that he wanted to be the trooper. He wanted to tape up and just get on with it. But like, unfortunately, some of these situations, you can't do that if the doctors say you can't. But someone you're somewhat familiar with, Cody Rhodes, recently has made headlines for wrestling with a torn pec muscle in WWE.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that? And did it make, like, obviously, immediately just after learning the Matt Cardona news, did it change how you felt about anything? Or do you think that set a bad precedent? Or how do you feel about the situation?
No, I think it's a personal choice. I think that Cody, and I can't speak for Cody, but I think he made the decision to WWE, the biggest company in the business, by a long way, the undeniable number one, and they made the decision to go all in on Cody, right? To fully commit to Cody as a top talent. So I think Cody decided, like, they've made that commitment to me, I'm going to make that same level of commitment to them. And I think that's really what it came down to. And I applaud him for it. I commend him tremendously.
Okay, yes. Do you think that, like, I've seen this argument online with fans or whatever, that it could be bad overall for setting a precedent that, like, people have to wrestle if through their injuries, or they have to just, yeah, like, strap it up, do whatever you're doing or whatever? Do you think that will be a thing that happens following the wake of this?
No, I don't. I think that people, especially with WWE, people online are always looking for some reason to criticize. And I think it's recreational debate. I think that it's a personal choice. I certainly don't see it setting a precedent. I certainly don't see it being a situation where promotions start pressuring guys to work hurt because Cody decided to gut it out for a pay-per-view, you know, in an arena, you know, with tens of thousands of people and millions of people watching around the world. I think people can understand the context of that. Like, you know, it's one thing to do it for when you're at the main event of the biggest promotion in the world. You know, it's another thing to do it. Like, look, I taped up my arm and finished out my tour in Mexico when I tore my bicep. You know, because I wanted to fulfill my obligation. But my doctor was furious with me for doing it. He said, he called me a effing idiot. Like once he found out, I went in for the surgery a few days later. He said, I can't believe you did that. Like, that was really dumb. But I also, you know, they don't understand the industry, you know, and I was confident in myself, and I was also confident in my fellow professionals that we'd be able to, you know, work around it and take care of each other. And they did. They took care of me. I was in there with guys like Chavo Guerrero, you know, talking about, like, you know, all top level professionals. So I was totally confident that I would be safe and I would be able to, you know, to get through it. But it was a personal choice. Conan was the booker for those shows. He didn't say you have to be there. You know, like, he asked me, you know, can you make it? And I said, yeah, I can make it. And I did. And, you know, that it's a personal choice. And we're independent contractors, you know, so that works both ways. Like, you have to decide whether you're capable of fulfilling your obligations or not.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just ask you a couple more things just before you let you get out of here. But yeah, so as far as this weekend goes, even everything's uncertain, everything's up in the air, whatever. But what is, well, the rest of this week, the month, the year looking like for Nick Aldis?
I'm looking forward to the rest of the year. Like, now that COVID restrictions are sort of finally kind of in the rearview mirror for the most part, you know, and let's hope that it stays that way. And let's hope that monkeypox doesn't take its place. But I've got bookings in Germany in July that I'm looking forward to doing. And I've got, we've got, obviously, like you said, 1PW, which is exciting because, you know, there's a promotion in the UK that I never worked for on the first go around. But now, you know, Stephen, you know, reached out to me and Mickey and I are both going to be working that show. So that's always fun. We've got some other exciting opportunities coming up and Starcast in Nashville, you know, Ric Flair's last match being on the card for that's going to be a really exciting thing. And it means a lot to me that I was basically told, like, you know, we want you on the card one way or another, you know, so that means a lot because they feel like I represent the sort of Jim Crockett Promotions culture and, you know.
Sorry, is that on the Ric Flair's last match card?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that means a lot to me. So there's a lot of things I'm looking forward to. You know, to me, the business is based around moments, you know, and so anytime you have an opportunity to do something fun and get paid and, you know, hopefully create a moment that people remember, like, that, you know, I'm very looking forward to it. I've got some interesting sort of plans for how to sort of update my presentation and sort of, I don't want to say reinvent myself because that's not that's it, but, you know, to sort of evolve a little bit and move things along, and, you know, got some interesting ideas that I want to start fleshing out, which I think is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, yeah, well, thank you very much for that, and I wish you the best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much.